phones on. That was an important thing to do. In the first 2 years of college, I'm saying. And Loggins and Messina, I like them.
What?
But then I started listening to... Then two things happened. Immediately I started listening to jazz. And then in the last 2 years of college, Steely Dan got started. And so, I mean, you know, that kind of took over. And Stevie Wonder started to do his most interesting work. Mm-hmm. I mean, while I was in college, Stevie Wonder put out, speaking of talented, blind African-American musicians, he's put out Music of My Mind and Inner Visions and all that kind of stuff. So that was pretty much all she wrote. Anyway, so those were my musical tastes.
Great.
But Jackson Browne, I mean, I was...
WTIC News Talk 1080's Ray Dunaway, now in his 12th year as host of The Morning Show, weekdays from 5:30 to 10 with Diane Smith, appreciates what the station has meant to listeners right from day one.
You can't do WTIC anywhere else. It's uniquely Connecticut, uniquely Hartford. And I think we've really worked hard to keep that here. We try and maintain respect for the audience and try and do the best we can do each and every day. I mean, we try and do the right thing and do it with quality, and we try and do it with a unique perspective.
News, weather, traffic, sports, and lots of talk with Ray and Diane on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Ken Crowley speaking, 05.
It's time for Sports à Trois, a very French sports discussion segment. Avec Monsieur Ronald Dean, Monsieur Brice Evans, and myself, Louis Gascon de la Mer.
Do I get an extra credit for providing the background music here?
Well, you get some kind of extra credit for getting all damp because Ellis Burke said hello to you.
Well, I haven't seen the guy in about 12 years. I was rather impressed.
Now, I think he thought you were Mrs. Yawkey.
All right, I can't talk that.
That's
Lordy.
Great.
Oh.
It happens. Oh boy, bang, du bang, bang, du flingue. De l'arme, du cheval et de quoi faire la bringue. Du poursuivi par Smith et Wesson. Cole, Beringer, Winchester et Remington.
Well, Sports à Trois, we'd like to announce that Cincinnati basketball coach Bobby Huggins will be at RJ Julia tonight to promote his new book, Drink and Puke Your Way to Cardiac Health. It's time for Sports à Trois, the very French sports.
Playing with fire with Sherwood.
We have Monsieur
Ambrosio,
Monsieur Bruce Evans and myself, Louis Gascon de la Mer.
Little Mr. Bearcat in there is not going to be happy with you.
And it's hard to really stand out in the world of drunken driving and sports, but I think Bobby Huggins has perhaps made a new mark for himself.
Yeah, he made a mistake.
He's such a nice guy, too. It's really
the women's game. Normally, she's got the five best players, so she just throws them out there. Then when things don't go their way, they don't always make in-game adjustments. It appears that Jackson is the same way. Last night he played Luke Walton for 5 minutes, and the Pistons went right at him, and he played like Grandpa Walton. Looked more like Will Gere.
Are you ready for the after the
I'm always ready. People at Fenway yesterday, but they're giving strange looks as I was giving the Ask Mr. Ambrosio answer.
This is kind of, I never thought about this before, but here's the question. Dear Mr. Ambrosio,
yes.
Can you tell me why so many of the Earth's land masses, continents, taper to a point towards the south? In other words, why does everything come to a point at the south?
Well, it's kind of a silly question when you think of this, but much like human beings, everything sags when you get older.
Right.
I mean, let's, you know, look at ourselves in the studio. Well, not Bruce, because Bruce is looking better nowadays, but everything tends to sag. Well,
but if everything sags, why wouldn't there be like a big lump at the bottom?
Well, it sags
to a
degree.
Him?
No, he's asking. No, he wasn't questioning. Relax. Right. Everything sags, and it eventually comes to a point. It happens with human beings too. By the time you're 80 or 90 years old, everything sags, and then your feet are sort of, I'm demonstrating this, it's not very good on radio, but you see what I'm doing here?
Yeah.
Kind of like making that motion.
Kind of come out of the bottom.
Your feet kind of come out of the bottom. That's the same thing with the continents. All the land masses, a lot of the land plays. You look at South America.
Yeah.
If you look at the bottom of South America, that's a perfect example of how everything sags to the south. Mm. So it's kind of like the land masses are like us when we get older. And there's a lesson to be learned from that, and unfortunately the music's running out and I don't have enough time to get into it.
Do sit-ups. Well, here's the deal. If you're scared of going to the dentist, I have a great solution for you.
What's that?
Get stinking drunk before you go, and you won't mind so much. No, you can go see Dr. Rosen. Dr. Rosenfeld, he's right there in Avon. He specializes in people who are afraid of the dentist. He caters to cowards.
Have you been a coward at the dentist?
I have.
I have.
What does he do for you?
Majorly. Huh?
was major league.
What, was
he? He's a tender loving kid.
Now that you bring it up.
Yeah.
And he's got the painless state-of-the-art equipment. He's got the dental laser, so there's a shining light.
What about the dental assistants? What are we talking for dental assistants?
They're lovely people. Okay. Magdalena and Linda.
Really?
Yep.
You look somebody like Magdalena, like
absolutely
a couple of fair Colleen.
Woman is the best.
Really?
The best. She is the best.
Can we get her in here for an interview?
He's got the water laser, no drill, no noise, no dumbness, and it's quicker.
No dumbness?
Well, no dumbness either. You don't want a stupid dentist, now, do you?
Producer here.
No. But no numbness is what I said.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And he's got over 20 years of teaching and hands-in-the-mouth experience. Now he's got the water laser. Exceptional dentistry, maximum comfort. So, Mr. Ambrosio, whether it's bridges, crowns, bleaching, or bonding you want, you're caring.
Yeah, well, I'm bonding. If I come in here 3 days a week.
674-0707 for an appointment. With a smile you've always wanted into the atmosphere, it's best success. Most insurance is accepted. Located in Old Avon Village on Route 44 at Avon at the Silver Toothbrush. Signed with the Silver Toothbrush. Easy parking in some evening hours.
Magdalena.
He's got me all flustered here. Dr. Jerry, the dentist who caters to college.
What's the other one? What's the other dentist?
Linda.
Linda's like the office manager.
Oh, she's the office manager?
She's handling your insurance a bit more.
Excuse
me. And your teeth a bit less. 674-0707.
You write that one down.
To buy or
we have other things to talk about. I do want to say, I'm assuming this will be the last day that I personally, and perhaps Bruce as well, have to pretend we like Ronald Reagan more than we actually did. I'm assuming come Monday, that's over.
Oh, God. Forget. Well, it'll light the phones up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I just look at all this stuff about the Rollins and their stupid mouse book, and the secretary is putting money into his account and stuff. I mean, and it just kind of goes on and on. And actually, if you heard Stephen Reich's opening statement to the committee at the beginning of the week, to the House Select Committee, one thing that was clear was that he had acquired a certain disdain or contempt for the Rolands, not so much for their breaking of the law, but their, you know, just their spending habits were bugging him, and that they clearly just, you know, spent more money than they had on a routine basis, and then money would just sort of come flying out of some aperture, you know, and get to them somehow. And he kept using words like, you know, some years they'd survive by, you know. I mean, he really sort of described them like this kind of deadbeat family, which is, it is worth recalling, and I can't remember whether I pointed this out or not, but do you remember the sort of house bank scandal, or which was, what, around 1980 or so, where there were a lot of people in Congress who were writing overdrafts, basically, on this house bank, this little thing?
Yep.
And Roland, who was a congressman at that time, was guilty of, he was the worst offender in the Connecticut delegation and one of the worst offenders of all. I think he's always kind of had this problem of spending more money than he actually has. But, I mean, it's worth noting just for a moment, because, in fact, the articles, the newspaper articles, have fallen into the habit of calling them cash-strapped. Well, cash-strapped. Well, I mean, it's worth noting that until recently they were making $78,000 a year, but they were also living in a free house. I mean, most people, the biggest payment they have to make every month is mortgage.
Mm-hmm. Second biggest would be a car, and he probably has that,
yeah,
too, right?
Yeah, he had a car provided by the state. She did not. I don't believe the first lady gets a car, and there was actually some controversy about the car that she wound up having, but... the details of which I no longer recall. But yes, he does. He gets a car and a driver. So think about your finances. Think about the checks that you write every month. Think about whether you think you're cash strapped or not. Well, he was getting $78,000 in salary, not making a house payment, not making a payment on the car that he was driving anyway, and actually had a driver and stuff like that, too.
Wait a minute, though. You probably had that cottage payment, right?
Well, see,
some kind of a mortgage on that.
The cottage he bought while he was the cash-strapped governor. So one of the questions I've had from the very beginning is, if you regarded yourself as cash-strapped for whatever reason, because you don't make enough money and you get some alimony payments or whatever, why would you go out and buy a vacation home? And one reason you would do it is because you get this insider sweetheart deal where you bought this, you know, house by a lake in Litchfield for $110,000.
Yeah, but if you're so cash-strapped after that, why not sell that and reap the benefits of that financially?
Or do what he's doing this summer, rent it out.
Yeah, or
run
it
into
out.
The rental
right, exactly.
property.
Run it out.
But anyway, the idea that they were cash strapped, I just think it's worth noting that, yes, $78,000 really probably isn't enough for a governor of a state to be making, and that's why his salary's been raised. Although, it's also worth noting that he opposed salary increases for political purposes, I think. In other words, I mean, I think he enjoyed being able to say, oh, well, I'm turning down a salary increase. Well, no wonder he was turning down a salary increase all those years. I mean, he was, you know, getting his wallet padded in all kinds of other interesting ways. But, I find myself wondering what these people spend money on. I mean, because, in fact, if you're the governor, a lot of your other sort of lifestyle stuff is kind of not exactly taken care of, but, I mean, you know, you have to go to a lot of functions and stuff like that, all of which is sort of covered by the expenses of your office. And as I say, you got a free house, and you got a free car, and you get $78,000.
A little food thrown in. I mean, when you go to all these various functions.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of meals. You're going to wind up just eating somewhere where it is paid for. And yet he just has lived in this constant shower, this rain of largesse, you know, whether it's people giving him gift certificates to Stackpole or, you know, it's just everywhere you look, it's just people are just being, I mean, we're not talking about somebody who needed an extra $5,000 every year. It doesn't seem that way anyway. We're talking about infusions in tens and tens of thousands of dollars. So I find myself wondering, what in the world do these people do? I mean, what do they do? What expensive habit do they have that I don't know about? Because, I mean, really, I mean, just the details of their lives, or the finances. Anyway, there are people calling up about other things, and I suppose we should.
All right. Steve in a car. Steve.
The grand theory of your impressions of the subject, and share that with the audience. I listened to you earlier today. And in fact, a lot of your questions were grounded in ignorance. You were trying to trip up the caller. And after it was done, you basically dismissed them. Yeah, there's different ways to look at this. But what really happened is when they screw up first, then they can do better later, blah, blah, blah.
Well, you really listened carefully to the show. Well, thanks.
You got about 5% of that right. That's pretty good. Thanks. All thanks right. for the call. Thanks for being cheery.
Bobby said that was going to be a fun call. That really wasn't that much fun. As a matter of fact, I think that was actually kind of an attempt to hurt my feelings.
Susan in West Hartford. Hello, Susan.
Hello. Hello, Bruce. Hi, Colin.
Hi.
Okay, deep cleansing breath, Colin.
Deep cleansing breath, that's right.
Very good. Okay. Yeah. Just wanted to follow up a little bit about some of your comments about Governor